Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That, O Lord, which you have spoken, let it be verified in the lives of your people, in Jesus' name. And let the zeal of the Lord hasten his word to perform it, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, as always, Lord, we know that the entrance of your word brings light. Now, let that word and that light combined together shine in our hearts today, more and more unto a perfect day, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I was going to pick up where I left off on the Revelation series, but there was something still lingering that I had to finish up on the promises of God. So I'm going to do that today. It won't be very long. We'll pick up the Revelation series next time. But there was something still very prominent in my heart that the Lord leading me to finish it up on the promises of God. Now, if you remember, I'm going to do a quick review here. If you remember, I brought the word of the Lord towards the end of the year, what I believe the Lord promise us for this new year, to the end of last year, to be a year of remembrance, he said. And then last week, we talked about how you can unlock the power of God's promises. Now, there's just one more thing today, and that will close up the series on the promises of God for 2018. Now, today, that it might be fulfilled. Amen. So that's my topic today, that it might be fulfilled. Now, I want you to stay with me for the message, and you will understand what the Lord is doing in just a few minutes. I'm going to start here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Now, in this verse, the Lord is going to tell us how he watches over his word and how he hastens it to perform it. Can you put that scripture up, please? Jeremiah 1 and 12. To help me, if the scripture is up, makes me go a little quicker. Jeremiah 1 and 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The Lord said, I will hasten my word to perform it. If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. Now, that's what the Lord said. Now, there is a way that the Lord performs his word. There are three parts to this thing. The first part is the promise that the Lord gave, which we cover that towards the end of the year. You know, and last week we talked about, you know, it's not a promise unless you know it was promised, and how you can unlock the power of God's promises, and give all those steps of what you need to do. You have to go back and listen to the message. I'm not going to go through that again. Today, I'm talking about the last part, which is God's final part in how he will bring this thing to pass. Amen. Now, it always starts with God. And always ends with God, because he's the author and finisher. Amen. Now, when God wants to do something, God says it is time. You know, it's like anything else. If God wants to do a revival, wants to bring a revival and so forth like that, he says it is time. And when he says it's time, then he puts in the hearts of people, they begin to pray. And they begin to pray for God to do what he already said. And that's how he walks. And because for, you know, to will and to do of his will comes from the Lord. For us to even want to do it comes from him. And for us to actually do it comes from him. You know, so when God made a promise, and then he begins to put in our heart, explain to us how to cash in on those promises, then the last step is for us, you know, while we're doing our part, to trust and see how God's going to bring it to pass. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. There are many ways by which God will watch over his word to perform them. Everything that God has promised, not one of it will fail. Amen. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen tells a wonderful story here when he was about to be stoned to death of how God called Abraham and so forth, and he went through the story of the children of Israel all the way from Abraham and on down. I preached a wonderful message that led to the Christ, to them. And but there's one scripture I want to, just one verse I want to read here, which we tie in with this message, and it's in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17. Now, when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, and so on and so forth. And another king arose that knew not Joseph and all that, and then began to torment the people. But you see, the point we want to bring out is when the time of the promise draws near. Amen. And there is a message on our website from that. You should go back and listen to it. I think you should go and listen to that because it's really a good one. I listened to it last night myself, and it's November 17, 2013. It's called The Time of the Promise. It ties right with this message. So listen to that. It'll help you. Now, but when the time of the promise begins to draw near, God begins to do certain things in order to bring to pass his word. Amen. In the book of Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. In the book of Ezra chapter 1 verse 1, we're going to see how God began to move to fulfill the prophecy that he gave through Jeremiah the prophet. Now, Jeremiah the prophet gave a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 25. He talked about in verses 11 and 12 of how, the people of Israel, the Jews and all that will be carried in captivity and so forth like that, and all that will happen to them. And that 70 years will be fulfilled and so on. And he gave that prophecy, that's in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. So, but in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, we see what the Lord said here. He says, now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. In order that the word might be fulfilled, which God already spoke through the mouth of the prophet, God began to stir up the spirit of Cyrus of Persia. Amen. Now, Cyrus didn't know what he was doing, that he was necessarily tied into what God was planning and what God had spoken. He just thought he was doing something. But it was God that moved him to do what he was doing. Now, God began to move upon King Cyrus of Persia. And he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing saying that, they should go and rebuild. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want to go into the story of what they actually did and the rebuilding and so forth, but I just want to bring this one out. That when that time of promise began to come near, God, in order to bring to pass the word which the prophet already spoke, began to put things into motion. God began to stir up the spirit. This King Cyrus, we don't even know that he knew the Lord or anything at that time. But whether he did or didn't, doesn't matter. God can use anything and anyone in his dominion. Amen. And he will too, in order to bring to pass his word for you. Amen. That's where this message is headed. So we see how God moved Ezra, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and he said that, look, the people should go and, build the thing, and different things and so forth. You can read all of the book of Ezra is a wonderful, wonderful book. You can read it all, and it has a lot of things in there, and you can see all the things that they did. Now, he said, the God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Well, we don't know when the Lord charged him that, but in the book of Isaiah, he talked about that as well. In Isaiah chapter 44, he talked about Cyrus is my servant, and I will make him do certain things. So God already foresaw that. And this man, all of a sudden, God began to put it in his hand, in his heart. And he began to say, look, who is among you of all his people? His God be with him. Amen. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and let him build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And moreover, anyone that remained that sojourned out of this place, give them help. He begins to just give commandment and so forth. But the whole purpose was that the word of the Lord through the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Amen. Also, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, he understood by the books, according to the message of Jeremiah, Daniel, he understood that 70 years should be fulfilled upon his people, Israel and Jerusalem and so forth. And then when he saw and understood that the 70 years were coming to, near, God began to move upon him and he began to go into prayers. Amen. That's how these things work. God began to let people know that the time of the promise is drawing near, and he begins to motivate them to pray or to take action, or God begins to do certain things to make sure that the word of God comes to pass. Amen. Now, here's what the Lord said about how he watches over the word of the Lord that he has spoken, either through his messengers or directly. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Amen? Now, that's God's introduction. He did these things by himself. He doesn't need any help. Amen. Now, but he goes on to say, I am the Lord also that frustrates the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners to be mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge to be foolish. And all diviners and all lies and tokens against the promises of God, all contradictions against the word of promise in your life, God will make them mad. Amen. Amen. Now, there's also a wonderful message you should listen to. It's called Contradictions to the Word of Promise. I don't know the date or whatever. I don't remember. I didn't look it up. It just came to my mind right now. Contradictions to the Word of Promise. Look it up. It's a good one. Now, God will make and frustrate the tokens of the liars. It will make the diviners mad. Anything that has come against the word of God in your life that says it's not going to come to pass, God will turn them backward. Amen. God is also the one that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've already seen how God did it, in the book of Jeremiah, the one we quoted for Jeremiah, and how he raised up a king to perform that word that Jeremiah spoke. There's nothing that God cannot do, Hallelujah. I'm going to bring us a few more examples in the Bible that will bring it to us, bring it home for this message. Amen. Now, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, there's a wonderful story there from verses 1 through 20, practically the whole chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Now, there was something that Elisha spoke, So let's pick up the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, there had been a great famine in the land and nothing was going on and so forth like that, because people that, just war and everything, So now, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, one time I said, you may not understand how severe or how serious or how great that prophecy was, but for our time, let's say gasoline is being sold $3 for a gallon, or $2.50 or whatever it is, and somebody were to stand up, and say, tomorrow, gas will be sold for 15 cents for the gallon. That's how great that prophecy was. Because, nobody thought it could happen. Everything was contrary to that, But he said it. And when he said it, somebody jumped up and said, well, even if the Lord will make windows in heaven, can this thing be? Remember, last week, the breach of promise. But sometimes God will not breach the promise. You know, when God will make it come to pass, it's just the unbeliever that will not taste of it. Amen. Amen. In this case, the word of the Lord was going to come to pass anyhow. You know, but one of the chief of staff for the king, you know, in those days, you know, said, well, yeah, there's no way this thing can come to pass. Well, in order for this thing to come to pass, let me show you what God had to do. Just that this thing that Elisha said should come to pass. There was a story in this same place of four lepers. You have to read the whole chapter. You know, they were outside the city. They were banned because they were leprous and they couldn't enter the city. And there was war here, famine here, and everything here and so forth. And the Syrians camped against them and all that. And so these four lepers said to them, said, look, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we can't go into the city because we're not allowed to go there. You know, if we sit here, we're going to die. We can't, you know, whatever. You know, so what are we going to do? Well, there's only one thing to do. You know, so they think within themselves they're going to take a risk. Well, we'll go to the Syrians, and if we fall to them, maybe they'll save us, maybe they won't save us. But two things we know. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go to the city, well, we're not allowed there. We're going to die there anyway, too. They might kill us. You know, but, you know, let's take a chance to the host of Syrians and see if they might save us alive. Well, God was using that. And the Bible says that when they came to the host of the Syrians, they were all fled. Why were they all fled? Listen to verse 6 of 2 Kings chapter 7. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, and the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel had hired many kings against us of the Hittites and the Egyptians and to come upon, and they fled. There were only four lepers coming, folks. And God made it to sound like it was chariots and horses and hoofs and so forth and thunderous things coming against them. Four lepers. And God made that sound, you know, to panic. I mean, until this great army of the king of Syrians panicked and fled. And these four lepers, you know, they didn't know anything that was happening. You know, they got there and said, my lands, the whole place is fled. And they began to take, eat, carry this back and forth and say, well, you know, this is not right. You know, it's a great victory for Israel today. We need to go back and tell so that people can know what's going on. So they went back and told. Well, to cut a long story short, when they went back and told, right, you know, there was a big stampede from the people because they said, wow, you know, everybody were rushing there and so on and so forth to go and make a spoil of the great things that are left behind from the Syrians. Well, the man, that chief of staff, army staff, or whoever it was that had said, shall the Lord open the windows of heaven and make this thing come to pass? Well, he was standing in the gate trying to control the people going in and out and so forth. Well, because of the madness and the rush and the stampede, the people trotted him down and he died. Right? Listen to this. Verse 18. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, and so on and so forth. You know, and then that Lord that had answered that should Lord made, you know, windows in heaven and so forth, it fell upon him that the people trod upon him, and he died. Just like the man of God said. Because he said to him, well, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. But two things happened there. I'm not too worried about, you know, the evil that came upon that guy. That's not what my message. But the message is the prophecy that Elisha gave that said, tomorrow things will be changed in this place. And, you know, people thought, well, it cannot be. Well, he spoke it. It was done. Said, done deal. He went his way. Amen. And God will bring it to pass. Now, that's God's responsibility, is to bring it to pass. You don't worry about it. You know, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. That's why we sang that song. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's another story here. I love this story. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, this is Elijah, the Tishbite. But I'm not talking about Elijah today. I'm talking about the widow of Zarephath. Now, sometimes, in order for God to bring things to pass, and this story has been told many, many times, even by myself, you know, and there was a wonderful message we preached about that as well, you know, about the ravens, you know, the brook and the widows, so you can read that, or listen to it. But I want to focus on one small thing here today. Evidently, this widow woman, you have to read the story. I don't have time to tell the whole story. But this widow woman, because of the great famine, and Elijah was the one that brought about the famine in the days of Ahab. He said, as the Lord thy my God lives before whom I stand, there shall not be rain except by my word. And he spoke it and he left. And it was exactly like that. And then the Lord said to Elijah, get thee up and go to the brook Cherith, and I will bring you word and so forth like that. And the Lord sent ravens to feed him morning and evening. Hallelujah. Now talk about room service. The Lord angelic brought him room service. I mean, he was just, he spoke the word, but the word that he spoke caught up with him as well. Because he said there will be no rain, and then there was no rain, and the brook was dry. You know, but I've said this before many times, the Lord could have made that brook not to dry up. Amen? Amen, folks? But the Lord allowed the brook to dry up in order to answer the prayer of that widow woman. Now, that widow woman evidently was there, you know, and she was dying, and she thought, today is her last day and everything, and God was going to do something for her. Amen. And in order for God to do that, Elijah's brook had to dry up. Now, of course, Elijah was somebody that understood the law. When the brook dried up, he knew the brook had dried up. Now, he could have stayed there and begin to rebuke the brook, begin to command the brook to open up. But he didn't do that. He knew it was time to move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. The brook dried up. And God was fixing to do two miracles for the price of one. You know, and he said, look, Elijah, you go over to such and such a place, you know, I've prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. Now, of course, Elijah didn't know anything about it. Neither did the widow woman know anything about it. But God was the appointment maker. Amen. God was making that divine appointment. And Elijah came upon that widow woman. And as soon as he saw her, he knew, yeah, that's got to be the one the Lord telling me about. And he told her, well, go get me a piece of cake and so on. The woman said, well, the Lord thy God liveth. I've got nothing in the house except I'm going to make something like this. And I'm going to eat it. My son and I are going to die. That's it. We got nothing else. And Elijah said, well, nobody is dying today. Amen. Amen, somebody. You just go and make me first a cake. And then you do whatever you want. But, you know, remember, he brought the word of the Lord and said, the barrel of meal shall not fail. The cruse of oil, barrel of meal will not waste. And the cruse of oil will not fail. That little thing that you think that's all you got left, God will multiply it until the day that he brings a supply of rain. Amen. Now, what is the story here? In order that the woman's prayer, possibly she might have been praying, you know, might be fulfilled, God allowed the prophet's brook to dry up to send him over there, you know, and so forth. And that's how God does his things sometimes. In order that his word might be fulfilled, he can do anything he wants to bring that word to pass. Now, remember the promises of God this year. The Lord said it will be a year of remembrance. And the Lord also showed you how to put him in remembrance. Now, in order for those things to come to pass, you'll be doing your part, but don't worry about it. The zeal of the Lord will bring it to pass. Amen. Now, there's a final story I want to tell us here in the book of Genesis. A long story, many, many chapters. The story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, and then you pick it up again at chapters 39 through about 47. The story of Joseph. And I think most people here know that story. Of course, Joseph, you know, his father made him a coat, rainbow coat and all that and good stuff. And father loved him more than the rest of them because he was the son of his old age and so on. And Joseph used to have these dreams, you know. He would see, and the interpretation of the dreams was kind of like his brothers would bow down to him and so on. He would rule over them. That was the summary of the dreams. And when he told his brothers, they got envious against him, and they plotted against him to kill him. One day they had an opportunity to kill him, but one of his older brothers said, well, don't kill him, just throw him over here into this dungeon. Into this hole. So they did. And then he was supposing to come back and rescue him. And while he was gone, you know, they saw, you know, a slave caravan come in and said, well, what's the point of leaving him here? Let's just sell him into slavery. And they did. And so they sold him in, and they carried him all the way to Egypt. Now remember, Joseph was just a young man. And when they carried him all the way to Egypt, he was so far away from his father, so far away from his parents, from his family and everything. And, of course, God was blessing him and everything. But even when he got there, the wife of Potiphar conspired against him, framed him for a crime he didn't commit because he wouldn't sleep with her, and then got him into jail and all that. And so many things, you know, problem upon problem just seemed to be piling up against him. You know, and I believe that, you know, the whole time, maybe the devil would have been asking, well, you know, what become of all your dreams now? You're going to be great, huh? You're going to be rule over your brethren, huh? We'll see how you're going to do that in this slammer that you're in. Well, you know, all of those problems that were coming upon Joseph were moving him closer to the word of the Lord. Amen. That's exactly right. In order that it might be fulfilled, the dreams which God gave him, God had to send him to prison. Now, that may seem a little harsh, but that's the truth. It's in the Bible. Now, when God promised him all those things through those wonderful dreams, God never told him that you are going to go to prison. minor details. God just kept that one to himself. Praise the Lord. God doesn't owe it to you or anybody to tell you the whole story. God will tell you what he wants to tell you, but you got to believe him for the whole story. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the tokens of liars, which were all Joseph's brothers, and all the things they plotted against him, could not frustrate the plan of God for his life. The purpose of God for his life would be fulfilled, regardless of if he was thrown into jail, regardless of whatever happened, the purpose of God in his life would come to pass. And while he was in the house of Potiphar, he was doing very well, you know, but, you know, chances were he never would have met Pharaoh, because that's as far as he got, you know. Potiphar was chief of army staff or whatever he was in those days, and that's about it. You know, but when they threw him into jail, he met two people, the butler and the baker, from Pharaoh's house. And through the gift of God that was upon his life, interpreting their dreams and so forth, one to be saved, one to be killed and all that, you know, that eventually brought him before Pharaoh, as the story went. You know, so finally, you know, the one said, oh, wow, when Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could interpret it, then this guy remembered that while I was in prison, there was this one guy, one of the, you know, slave from somewhere. And he told me exactly the way it was and so on. And Pharaoh said, go bring this guy. And they brought the guy out and he stood before Pharaoh. And in one night, hallelujah, in one day, Joseph went from being a prisoner to prime minister of the land. Yes. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap, somebody. Oh, yes. It took him many years of being in trouble all over the place and so forth like that. But Joseph kept on hanging in there. Amen. One time he was faced with temptation. He said, I cannot do this great evil against my God. And he stood with the Lord and he just stayed with God. And it didn't look like anything. Now, another thing is when God promises you something, the devil is going to try to have something to say about it. Devil's not going to let it happen if he has something to say about it. So don't think that, you know, don't think that you should, you know, just because God promised something, you just fold your arms and it's going to come to pass. Oh, no. Not if the devil has something to do about it, you know. But devil or not, the word of God will come to pass. Amen. Because you yourself, you should be a prayer warrior. You ought to be a prayer warrior. Amen. Because Elijah, when God told him there was rain coming, and he said, you know, go tell your master Ahab that rain is coming. And you go up, eat and drink. Well, he told them rain was coming. Elijah didn't go and eat and drink. He went to pray. Amen. So sometimes you're going to have to pray that promise through. Hallelujah. I mean, so you have to combine all the messages we've prayed about, all that and so forth. But it will come to pass. God will watch over the world. And there is nothing that he cannot do. He can use four lepers to make them sound like thunderous armies coming. You know, and God may make your situation more difficult in order for you to actually cry out for a blessing. Amen. Sometimes, you know, people get so comfortable where they are, you know, even though things are not right for them, and they forget, you know, where they need to be. It's like the children of Israel, you know, after a while they were beat down so long they were not comfortable, but they were beat down so long they didn't even know what to do about it. You know, then finally you know, when things got so hard, they started to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord said, well, I have seen their affliction. Well, that didn't do anything. But when I now heard that cry, now I'm set for to go and deliver them. Amen. So you must cry unto the Lord, and the Lord will deliver. You know, but bear this in mind. No matter what the enemy is trying, you stay with the promise. You know, here's what I was going to say. That sometimes when the Lord promises you something, all hell will break loose, and it looks like if everything is going to go in the opposite direction of what God promised, but God's going to bring it right back. Amen. That's right. There is not enough devils in hell or anywhere else to make the word of God to be broken. The only thing that will break it is your unbelief. But if you believe God, you get a hold of somebody else that believes God with you, like we said last week, and you stay with the Lord and do all those things that the message said last week, you will come out with that promise fulfilled in your life. Amen. And whatever it is that God has promised you, whether it's personal, whether it's for the ministry, whether it's for the church and so on, you know, God is going to bring it to pass. Now, did God not say in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 that the angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister on behalf of God's elect? Exactly right. They are ministering spirits, you know, and God doesn't even have to lift a finger. He's got all these ministering spirits already sent forth to make sure that things come to pass in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we see a story in the book of King Ahab where God said, you know, who's going to go down there to persuade this guy, you know, to fall at Ramoth Gilead? Well, you know, generally the angels don't tell lies. They just do it like that. So God was looking around because none of them would do it. But then some spirit came up and said, well, okay, well, you know, I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Well, God said, that's fine. You go and prosper. But we see from that story, you know, that God may also say, you know, Bible say he has given his angels charge over you. God may also say to his angels, well, I know my daughter over there is believing for something. And I know my son over there is believing for something. Now you all go down there and make sure it comes to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. That's their job. They are called ministering spirits. Not necessarily minister to you. Sometimes they will, but minister for you. That means they are doing things on your behalf. Hallelujah. Sometimes they may even be doing things that seem uncomfortable for you just to keep you out of trouble. You know, I searched the scriptures. I prayed about this some years ago, and then the Lord showed it to me, some things that the angels do. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, you may be headed for an accident in the morning because you are hurrying too much and you didn't take time to pray and so forth. The angel of the Lord come out there and just blind your eyes, and you won't find your keys. You look everywhere, you can't find your keys because there's an accident that God's preventing from you getting into. Amen. And then all of a sudden, you see the keys, they are in plain sight. Hello, somebody. The thing was there all along. How come you didn't see it? You searched everywhere. You didn't find it. And all of a sudden, the thing is right there. It's like, I looked in this place. Anybody resemble that story? Absolutely. Because the angel of the Lord, he put a blinder on you because he's preventing you from that accident. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, they do so many things like that. And the primary purpose in this message is to show you that God can use angels, God can use kings, God can use lepers, God can use anybody, God can even use troubles in your life to bring you closer to the promise. And whatever it is, he will perform it. Now, remember, in order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he has spoken to us since the end of last year until now, that this will be the year of remembrance and that God will remember you. In order for that word to be fulfilled, leave it in God's hands of how he's going to do it. Amen. He knows a million different ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing that anybody can say to him. He ruleth in the armies of heaven. Hallelujah. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is one that shall never come to an end. Hallelujah. And nobody can say to him, what doest thou? And he's the one that he's the commander in chief. I mean, he says and it is done. He commands and he stands fast. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Now let's stand up to our feet here this morning. Let's stand up to your feet here this morning. Amen. The Lord has given us the promise this year. The Lord has also given us ways that we can unlock the promises of God. Now God is telling you that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will bring it to pass. That it might be fulfilled, what he has promised you, God, when the time of promise begins to get near, he will stir things into motion. He has so many different ways of doing it that you cannot even fathom. Hallelujah. God will begin to put things into operation on your behalf. Hallelujah. You know, people will even do things. They don't know why they are doing it. That's why he said, the mountains and hills will break forth before you into singing. And God will line up all the trees of the field and they will celebrate your success. They will clap their hands for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And all you got to do is acquaint yourself with the Lord thy God, that you may be at peace. So shall good come unto you. You draw close to God. You walk in his ways. You do all that you can for the Lord, like the message said last week. And then you leave the rest in God's hands. Amen. There are not enough devils in hell to make the word of God fall to the ground unfulfilled. The word of God will be fulfilled. Let me finish this by recounting the very first verse that we read today in Jeremiah 1 and 12. The Lord said, I will hasten my word to perform it. Hallelujah. God is not going to be slack concerning his promises. Praise the Lord. As some people think. They say, well, you know, why, you know, if God promised all this, why this? Don't worry about it. He will now hasten his word to perform it, saith the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will leave you with this last promise before we pray. And when we pray this prayer, I love to use this verse every time I speak on these kind of things. And you've heard it. And I will read it again. This is in the book of Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is in the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read from chapter 12. And three verses there, starting at verse 25. Ezekiel 12. And 25. Put it up on the word, and let's read it together. Let's read it together. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and we perform it, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, we don't want to be a rebellious house. Oh, yeah? You want to be called rebellious? They were rebellious because they didn't believe the name of the Lord. So let's read that again and take away the rebellious. Put that back in there. Take away the rebellious. You know, hallelujah. For I am the Lord, I will speak. And the word that I speak shall come to pass. And it shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O GMI church, will I say the word, even as I have said it, and I will also perform it, saith the Lord God. Amen. Now listen to verse 27. Verse 27, let's read it again together, 27 and 28. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesied of times that are far off. Now some of you may be saying, oh well, you know, the Lord's going to do it far off and so forth. Now the Lord said, hallelujah. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift up your hands, everybody. Let's lift up our hands and let's thank the Lord. Now this concludes the series on the promise of God for you this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you've got all the tools in your hand to get this promise to happen in your life. Amen. And don't let the devil cheat you out of it. Lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. And we thank you because your word is real. Amen. And what you have promised for your people, your zeal will also bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this, saith the Lord. And when the time of promise begins to draw near, now remember, God is the one that calls the time. God appoints the times, the time to favor God's people, the time to favor you specifically. God is the one that appoints that time. And when that time begins to draw close, God will set things in motion. And he will bring to pass all of his promises concerning you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And somebody in the house shouts hallelujah. Come on, somebody, give it up some praise in the house. Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus. No. Let's give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.